want to talk to you now about the impact of international standards of auditing. How have international standards of auditing affected the way that we audit in the UK? First of all, I'd just like to talk to you a little bit about the history of that. Here we go. In 1991, the Auditing Practices Board was formed. That followed a big shake-up of auditing and accounting in the United Kingdom. Then in 2002, we had a new version of the Auditing Practices Board in preparation for international standards of auditing being adopted by the European Union. There was then a European Union statutory audit directive, and this provided a platform for the adoption of international standards on auditing throughout Europe. In 2004, our own UK Auditing Practices Board adopted the international standards on auditing. That means we swept away our own UK standards and adopted those international standards on auditing. Two key points here, though. First of all, our own versions of the international standards on auditing are supplemented. They're supplemented with information relevant to UK businesses only. So, for example, it might be the case that our UK legislation requires UK auditors to do a little bit more than the international standards require. If you're reading an ISA, that's an international standard on auditing applicable to the UK, you'll see in that ISA a grey shaded box. And the grey shaded box will have the information that is relevant to UK companies and therefore UK auditors. The other point to mention here is that there was a stability period from 2004 to the end of 2008 where only changes to accommodate changes in domestic legislation were made to the ISAs. So basically there was a bedding in period for 4 years so that UK auditors could become familiar with international standards on auditing. During that period from 2004 to 2008, the International Auditing Standards Board undertook something called the Clarity Project. The Clarity Project reported at the end of 2008. The European Union have agreed to adopt those new clarified international standards on auditing now that it's been completed. During this Clarity Project, the Auditing Practices Board in the UK had a significant input. We were able to contribute towards the development of the clarified international standards on auditing. Now, the project on clarification included the following four objectives. First of all, that each ISA, international standard on auditing, had an objective, a clear objective for each ISA. Secondly, that there was a separate requirements section and application section. Thirdly, there was a clarification in the ISAs so that the work that the auditor had to do was prefaced by the word shall rather than the word should. Historically, it wasn't clear in the old ISAs which work the auditor had to do and which work the auditor could do. And lastly, there was an elimination of other ambiguities in the language used in the ISAs so that again, it should be clear now which work is mandatory for the auditor and which work the auditor has a choice over. These new ISAs are now issued. They're now out. And the UK has adopted the new ISAs. Now, careful with this date. It's adopted the new ISAs from the 10th of December 2010. That's the 10th of December 2010. And that means that the current ISAs that we have are still in issue. So these clarified ISAs don't apply until after the 10th of December 2010. Something else to note about these new ISAs is that, first of all, we've still preserved our grey shaded boxes. So what I was talking about before, where the UK has its own version of the International Standards on Auditing, where it puts its own grey shaded boxes for items that are required in the UK only, those still exist. And secondly, what we've also done is we've also kept our ISA 700. Now, that's the ISA on audit reporting. Our ISA on audit reporting is different to the international ISA on audit reporting, but it's very, very similar. First of all, there are two brand new standards that have come out of the Clarity Project. The first one is ISA number 265, and that's called Reporting Deficiencies in Internal Controls. And secondly, there's ISA 450, Evaluation of Misstatements Identified in Audit. So that's two new ISAs that have come out of the Clarity Project. There are also 12 amended standards that have come out of the Clarity Project. The three most significant amendments are thought to be ISA 540 on fair value and accounting estimates, ISA 550 on related parties, and ISA 600 on groups including component auditors. And you can go away and have a look at those three as your start point to having a look through the amended ISAs. I want to now have a look at existing standards and have a brief run through the different types of standards that we have currently under UK International Standards on Auditing. So please remember, those new ISAs are not in force until the 10th of December 2010. So what I'm doing now is I'm reviewing the existing ISAs that will exist up until the 10th of December 2010. So what do those existing ISAs look like? Well, they're written in logical series, and the first of those is ISQC1. That's International Standard on Quality Control number 1, and it's the quality control standard. The second group of ISAs are the 200 series, and the 200 series covers general principles including engagement, documentation, fraud responsibility and communication. Next, there's the 300 series of ISAs. So there will be ISA 310, ISA 320, and so on. And they include planning, including risk assessment and materiality. Next is the 400 series. There's only one standard there at the moment on using external service organisations. The next one's the 500 series. This includes evidence, analytical review, external confirmations, sampling, accounting estimates, lots of topics associated with audit evidence. Next, there's the 600 series. The 600 series includes using the work of others, including internal audit and including external experts. And finally, there's the 700 series, and the 700 series is about audit reporting. ISA 700 itself is about the audit report, and we mentioned it earlier. If you would like an update on some of the key changes that have taken place in the last few years in this group of standards, then listen to our other podcast on auditing. Finally, I'd like to have a look at the Auditing Practices Board, the Auditor's Code, and ethics. So who are the Auditing Practices Board? Who sits on the Auditing Practices Board? Well, the Auditing Practices Board is comprised of individuals not eligible for appointment as company auditors, as well as those that are. Basically, up to 40% of the APB can be eligible auditors, and that means 60% of the APB are people who aren't eligible auditors. So we know that the Auditing Practices Board is supervised by the Financial Reporting Council. But what is it that makes auditors follow the rules issued by the Auditing Practices Board? Where do they get their authority from? Well, first of all, the Companies Act requires all auditors to be approved by a recognised supervisory body. I'm going to come back and explain what one of those is in a moment. All auditors need to be approved by a recognised supervisory body. Now, the list of recognised supervisory bodies currently includes the ACCA, the Institute of Chartered Accountants in England and Wales, the Institute of Chartered Accountants in Scotland, and some others. These bodies, the ACCA, ICAW, and ICAS, are all members of the Consultative Committee of Accounting Bodies. That's like their little club, I suppose. And the Consultative Committee of Accounting Bodies has undertaken to adopt all APB pronouncements in conducting its audits. So it's a little bit convoluted. There isn't a piece of law saying you must follow these APB pronouncements. But basically, in a roundabout way, if you're a member of one of the bodies mentioned, the ACCA, the ICAW, ICAS, then you are bound to follow what the APB says.